Welcome to the Power of Food podcast. We are so excited to bring you evidence-based nutrition information focusing on addressing the root cause for imbalance. Food has the power to help you achieve lifelong optimal health without the side effects of prescription medication. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. I am Stacy Seslowski, functional nutrition registered dietitian.
And I am Leah Grace Barrick, functional nutritionist. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Power of Food podcast. Leah and Stacy here today with a solo episode, and we are talking all about muscle, strength, women, and longevity. So this is a really big topic, and Stacy had messaged me a few days ago when we were kind of brainstorming to do and what to talk about. And I'm so excited because she was saying how she's all jazzed up about this topic and, you know, focusing on women and strength and muscle for, you know, living longer versus just weight loss, which is where a lot of the topic when we talk about working out and exercise comes into play. And yes, exercise and weight training are important parts of weight loss, but we're not going to be focusing on that today. We're going to focus on some other topics as well that relate to muscle and go from there. So Stacy, do you want to start us off and just talk about what some of those health benefits of building and maintaining muscle are?
Yes. Thank you, Leah. This is a topic that I just have been talking about so much lately because one of the most important things that I could recommend to anyone, but especially to women, to maintain good health long term is to maintain muscle mass. And the reason I say that is because when we have muscle mass on our bodies, we are able to better regulate blood sugar so we can inhibit diabetes. We have better heart health so we could inhibit heart disease later on in life. And muscle also inhibits cognitive decline. It also burns fat. So fat on our body actually is a little bit more inflammatory when we have excess fatty tissue on our body. So having more muscle mass also reduces inflammation. So there are so many benefits about maintaining muscle mass on our bodies. And when you think about all of the long-term chronic conditions that are impacting the population of people, those are all of them: diabetes, heart disease, cognitive decline, obesity, metabolic syndrome, all those things. If you can maintain muscle mass, you can actually reduce all of those things and possibly inhibit them completely. So that is why I've been so, you know, just fired up on this topic and wanting to, you know, shout from the rooftops that one of the best things I could recommend to women especially is to maintain muscle mass.
Completely. Yeah, I'm in total alignment with you. I feel like I talk about this with all of my clients too. And it's interesting because, like, I don't know about you, Stacy, but none of my clients come to me being like, oh, I want to optimize my muscle, right? It's always something where we're like, oh, actually, this has to do with everything else that you want and all these other health aspects, but it's really not talked about enough besides more like aesthetic, right? Like, often we hear about that for, like I said in the beginning, just like weight loss. But the blood sugar one is huge. And, you know, for so many different things, inflammation, Alzheimer's prevention is a big one, especially for women as well. I know you've done a lot of deep diving into that, but even just overall longevity. So women's longevity is intricately linked to factors like lean body mass and strength. So really wanting to optimize that. And something that I think a lot of people don't realize, and I didn't realize this either for a long time, is that women start losing muscle mass at age 30. So that is like so scary young, right? A lot of times at 30 and our 30s, even our 40s, we're like not even thinking about these things, but it's something that you really need to be proactive about because it's going to be so much easier to build and maintain muscle when you are younger, when you are in your 30s and 40s. Yes, you can do it when you're older, but if you focus on it at a younger age, you're going to have an easier time doing that. So really focusing on it for those metabolic health reasons, for the blood sugar, for even hormone balance. And we'll talk about, you know, menopause in a bit, but, you know, helping with the muscle during that time can really help maintain appropriate hormonal balance, cardiovascular health, and even just having like functional independence as you age, right? So being able to lift the groceries and, you know, go run your errands and clean the house and do all these things, you need to have muscle to be able to do that as well. And then just improved quality of life was another one that I wanted to mention as well. Improved mood, decreased risk of depression, and just overall confidence, right? Like if you feel strong and you feel confident, that's going to have a big impact on how you're moving through the world as well. So a lot of different reasons to really focus on muscle. And so there are, you know, and we'll talk about the differences between menstruating women versus women in menopause because your hormones are changing a bit. But why don't we start by talking a bit about menstruating women? So if you're in your 20s and you're in your 30s, what to really focus on. And so I don't know about you, Stacey, how many clients you have in this age group. I see a lot of women who are, you know, in that age range. So a lot of women who are like 30s, high 20s, mid 30s, maybe late 30s. And a lot of times what women are doing is chronic cardio, right? So a lot of times the focus is on, okay, let me burn all the calories that I just ate and then some and go run a half marathon and do this HIIT class and do that Orange Theory class and all the things. And even if they are like, you know, lifting weights per se, I find that a lot of times the weights are lower, so not heavy weights, and they're incorporated into more of like a cardio setting. So they're not doing slower, less reps. They're doing like a lot of reps really quickly without breaking in between. And of course, yes, you're going to burn calories that way, but that's not really the best way to optimize muscle. So when we're talking about optimizing muscle with weight training, we want to think about heavier weights. So heavier weights, slower, taking breaks between reps, and really thinking about doing this consistently. So usually I say like 3 to 4 times a week is great for those sessions as well. And you want to make sure that you have appropriate form. A lot of times, if you've never lifted weights before, you might have no idea what you're doing, right? And it can be really kind of a struggle, like, and a little bit overwhelming if you go to like a gym atmosphere. I don't know how you feel about the gym, Stacey, but I hate going to the gym. It's just like the testosterone, I don't know. It's not really my thing. So I would actually recommend investing in some weights. Like, I am such a big fan of working out at home because it's convenient. You don't have to take the time to drive there and, you know, be stuck in traffic and all the things, and you can make your space really, you know, good for you. So you can also, if it's, you know, out of your budget, you can always find used weights online. So check on like Craigslist or check on Nextdoor. People are always selling weights. I know when I moved from Portland, like I sold my weights. So they're definitely out there. But investing in some weights and really focusing on form. So sometimes that means, you know, hiring a personal trainer, even for like 1 or 2 sessions, to just show you the correct form that you should be doing and help you figure out like how much you actually should be lifting, because a lot of times it's way more weight than you think. So a lot of times we're underdoing the weight because we think, oh, I don't want to get bulky, or we're even thinking like self-limiting belief, like, oh, I can't possibly lift that much, right? And you're so much stronger than you realize. So really focusing on kind of maxing out your reps so that by the last, like, you know, 2 or 3, you're almost at the point of like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can actually lift this or push this or whatever. I know when I started doing that, I was like, oof, that's like kind of pushing my comfort zone. But that's really what you need in order to really, you know, build that muscle as well. So it's probably going to be heavier weight than you think. And then also, of course, optimizing your protein as well, which we can talk about, but I feel like I've been on a monologue right now, Stacey. So I'm going to let you chime in on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I could not agree with you more. Those are the exact recommendations that I recommend. I actually think another an additional idea is go to like one of those, I don't know, Target or wherever it is, like a big Walmart, wherever it is near you where they sell weights, and pick them up and see, because it's so hard to know what is a heavy weight for you. And exactly the way you described, Leah, it's like we should actually only be lifting things that are so heavy that we can only lift it like 3 to 5 times. And we have to put it down and take a long recovery, do it again, put it down, do it again. You have your like 3 sets of really heavy weights and you can get it done in just a few minutes. So that is the type of exercise that is more effective for women. We're learning that men actually benefit more from that endurance, sort of lower weight, ongoing over and over and over again for way more time period, longer period of time. So the nice thing is that we don't need a lot of time to work out. We just need to have these like big, really impactful movements to really like have that burst of energy, that boot that builds our muscle. So exactly what you're saying is so necessary and helpful for women. With regards to protein, what we're learning is that we actually need to bracket our workout with at least 20 grams of protein. So we need to eat 20 grams of protein before and after our workout. So what is 20 grams of protein? Well, if you think about animal protein, so like any type of chicken, fish, meat, anything like that, 1 ounce is about 7 grams of protein. So you'd need about 3 ounces of any type of animal protein to get to your 20 grams. So that's about a little bit smaller than the size of the palm of your hand. So usually we're getting something like that on one side of the workout, right? Like we'll either have, you know, a lunch or a breakfast or a meal on one side of the workout. So that would be perfect for that type of animal protein to get that 20 to 30 grams. On the other side of the workout, we would probably need a snack. So wherever you're putting your workout in your day, I usually recommend having a meal on one side, a snack on the other. If you're not eating animal protein, then you can get your protein from foods like your nuts and seeds, a combination of beans and rice. We can use protein powders while always getting our protein from food is preferred. Definitely recognize that that's not always possible. And sometimes we're just not hungry on both sides of our workout. So this is not easy. I'm not saying that this is an easy way to go. However, that is what the research is showing to promote hypertrophy, which is the building of muscle. Now, if I do realize again that this is not easy, so what I have been telling my customers is, if you could at least get the full 20 to 30 grams on one end of the workout, on the other end of the workout, do the best you can. So if you're only going to get 10 grams because you're just not able to stomach anything more, then that's at least better than nothing. So I feel like that we have to be realistic about this. You know, we could give everyone the best optimal way to go, perfect meal plans and all these things, but sometimes it's just not realistic to, you know, that these recommendations are maybe not feasible all the time. So I do want to recognize the challenges that this sometimes does entail and make it possible. So again, if we're getting our 20 to 30 grams on one end from our meal, and then we're getting 10 to 15 grams on the other end, that is so definitely better than nothing. And I think you will start to see benefits from that.
Yeah, amazing, Stacey. I'm so glad you laid that out for us. And especially I wanted to touch on to what you said about the time, because I think a lot of people think that they have to spend like hours at the gym or hours doing this. And so often that will actually not help you, right? More is not necessarily better. I want you to think about quality over quantity. So really, again, I love your tip of, you know, going to Target, trying out the weights, seeing what's really, really heavy for you, because you're going to get way more bang for your buck with less reps over less time with higher amounts of weight. And so this is different from like more toning exercises, right? Because we're really talking about building up hypertrophy here. And same thing with protein, like that's probably way, way more protein than a lot of people are used to eating, especially women, right? So, you know, don't be too hard on yourself if you can't get to that level right away. Take it slowly, because protein is also the most satiating macronutrient, meaning that it's going to make you feel the fullest versus fat and carbs. Fat comes second and carbs come last. So really thinking about slowly bringing it up. And that's where the protein powder I find can be really helpful, because it is a really easy way to kind of get a lot of protein in more of a liquid form, which tends to be easier for people to kind of have, especially sometimes after a workout, if your stomach isn't feeling totally ready for a full heavy meal, it can be really helpful. Or if you're doing it before the workout, then you're less likely to get like some cramping and stomach upset as well. So yeah, I also say, you know, 25 to 35 grams per meal, really looking at like how much protein you're getting in a day as well. So absolute minimum, I usually say is like 100 grams per day. This will really depend on your body weight as well. So an easy way to think about it is looking at 1 gram per pound of ideal body weight. So if you weigh 150 pounds, then trying to get around 150 grams of protein per day is ideal. And you don't want to have that all at once. So I see a lot of people also, they like don't eat protein all day and then finally sit down for dinner and have like a big steak. So you want to make sure that you're actually, you know, having it throughout the day so that your body can use it. You can only digest a certain amount at a time as well. One more thing to think about as well when we're talking about like diet and this is to avoid fasting for long periods. Stacey and I recorded a whole podcast all about fasting, but this is one of the reasons why we actually don't typically recommend it for women, because it can break down your muscles. So you really, really want to protect your muscle. Muscle is truly king. Protein is truly king. We want to make sure that we're really, really optimizing this, especially as we get older. So trying not to kind of subject yourself to that intermittent fasting trend as well. And talking about, you know, as we're getting older, Stacey, I'd love to hear your thoughts about, you know, do these strategies that we're talking about, do they change when a woman is entering both perimenopause, but also menopause? Like, does protein needs change? Does timing change? Is it pretty much the same? Should they be doing different exercises? Can you touch on that a little bit?
Absolutely. So the actual recommendations don't change that much, but those recommendations are even more important. So whereas maybe in, you know, when you were 20s and 30s and you slacked a little here and there and missed a couple of weeks or on your workout or, you know, didn't get the protein in, you just get by and it's fine. When you're going into perimenopause and menopause, you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss the days, the weeks. You don't want to miss the protein, because it's like you lose it too quickly during menopause and you really can't afford to lose it. So it's really just sticking to the plan. And that's why it's so helpful to start when you're younger, because you've already got the routine down. You've already got the form of the, just like you were saying, Leah, the form is so important. You already know what you're doing. Your body's used to doing this and you can, you know, you kind of can get right into it. If you are starting fresh when you're in menopause, then just start fresh. You know, start with light weights and not light so that they're too light for you, but lighter than if you had been doing it for years and years. But just get started. Like, start weightlifting, even if it's your 2 days out of the week. Start with the heaviest weight that you can handle for your 3 to 5 sets. You know, whether you're working with a personal trainer or using YouTube to teach you, there's so many options on YouTube of like short workouts for us to follow along with. But just get started. Make sure that you're eating before and after. Make sure you're getting those, you're hitting those protein goals before and after. And just like you said, Leah, like throughout the entire day. And then a couple of extra things that may give you a further boost in those years is, first is I've been recommending this one supplement to so many women. I know I normally don't recommend any supplement to everyone because there's always unique individual circumstances why a supplement might not be helpful. But creatine is one of the most well-researched supplements that has benefits for not only lean body mass, but also for brain health and heart health. So if you do feel like you just can't get get motivated for your workouts, or you're really struggling to get through the workouts, creatine can actually really help, because what creatine does is it replenishes the form of energy that our muscles use, which is called ATP. So ATP in our muscles kind of runs out, you know, and you know that when, let's say, you're trying to do a sprint or you're trying to lift something heavy, and by the third set, you just can't lift it anymore. That's because the ATP in your muscles has run out by then. But creatine replenishes that so that you can push just a bit farther, longer, or heavier. So that throughout the workout, you feel like you have a little bit more energy, you're able to perform a little bit better, and that will all lead to that muscle building that we're looking for. So that's one extra little recommendation that I would make, is to look into a creatine supplement. And the other piece of this is that when we're in menopause, we're struggling with a lot of other things. We're struggling with more difficulty sleeping, with all that, you know, hot flashes or whatever it is, the symptom that you're experiencing during menopause. There's other obstacles. Sometimes we have more anxiety, we have more inflammation. We have all the fun things to look forward to in those years. I recognize too that even with the best of intentions, we were going through a lot at that time, and some of these recommendations feel even harder to accomplish. But what I would say is that if you could include these routines in your day, they actually will reduce the symptoms of menopause. They actually have those benefits of making some things easier, helping us sleep a little bit better, reducing inflammation. We've talked about already before, controlling blood sugar, helping heart health, and reducing risk for cognitive decline. So all the things that we do suffer with are now reduced because of this routine that we're adding to our day. So I just can't emphasize enough how important these recommendations are for women in menopause.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, Stacey, because it's like, all of these women are struggling so much, and often it can feel like the last thing you want to do is like go to the gym and lift some weights, right? Yeah. But it's actually going to help with all of these things, like especially because, like, I mean, I hear so many women going through menopause, like often one of the biggest things is like weight gain around the midsection, and this like utter frustration that, you know, what they quote used to do isn't working anymore. Wow. And just feeling so lost. And again, like this whole thing isn't, we're not talking about weight loss, but it's going to help so much managing cortisol and with blood sugar and with all of these other things. And, you know, a lot of these things, heat flashes, sleep. The other one I wanted to mention as well is osteoporosis. That's a really big one that a lot of women are really, really struggling with. And that's another one where, you know, the earlier that you can get started, so in your 20s, in your 30s, especially if you have someone in your family who struggles with osteoporosis, if you're more of that, you know, lean body frame, you really, really want to be focusing on muscle building and strength training, because that's going to help build up your bone and help prevent that osteoporosis that often comes with that drop in hormones that happens with menopause. So that's another reason to really be focusing on that as well. And I also love that you mentioned creatine. I actually just started taking that myself for the first time.
And I'm above again. Do you feel the difference?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been taking it super consistently. So it's been kind of on the back burner of my current supplements, but it is something that I'm going to start being more consistent with. But I will say, I don't know if it was placebo or what, but I definitely felt really good when I was taking it. And I've been reading a lot about those benefits as well. And it honestly, I feel like everyone should be taking it too. So that's one to definitely consider as well. When we're talking about muscle, but also, you know, for the brain and full body and all of that. And I wanted to ask you too, Stacey, do you have a specific YouTube channel that you use for your workouts that you recommend to clients or that you use yourself?
Yes. So there's one in particular that I love. Now, I will have to just caveat this by saying that it's not exactly the like really heavy weight, just 3 to 5 sets and then recover. Yeah. So sometimes you do have to modify the workout that she's doing to meet your needs rather than just follow along exactly the way she is doing it. But I really love, her name is Caroline Gervan. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, Leah, but you spell her last name G-I-R, so G as in good, I-R as in red, and then V-A-N, Gervan. So she, her workouts are, I always choose just the 30 minute ones because I have to finish my workout in 30 minutes.
Same.
And even if I have to modify, so like there'll be days where she'll say, okay, we're going to do this exercise for 60 seconds, take a 30 second break, and then 60 seconds, 30 seconds, that. So sometimes I'll think to myself, okay, like I'm not going to do 60 full seconds because I'm lifting something that I can only lift five times. That's going to take me probably 20 seconds. So that's okay. Like I modify it. But what I like about it is that she has enough variety in, like, you know, all the different parts of the body. She has good form. So you can really learn from her, watch the way she moves and, you know, mimic that to make sure you're having good form. And like you were mentioning before, I could do it from home. I could just have a couple of weights. I don't need a lot of equipment for this. And what I've noticed is that you quickly graduate to the next heavy weight. Like you get this heavy weight and you think, gosh, like this is the heaviest I'm ever going to get. Like there's no way I could lift something heavier than this. And then before you know it, you're like, I bet I can lift another 5 pounds heavier than this. And then you get that. And then the original weight feels light to you. So it's really pretty cool when you see that improvement. That's the one that I use and I really like her. I haven't been able, I try to vary it. I try to look for others that I would like just as much, but I don't know. I haven't been successful in finding something that I like more.
Oh, it's so hard to find someone that you resonate with. Like I'm like you, I love the online workouts and I'm going to have to check her out actually, because I haven't heard of her and I'm always kind of on the lookout for new ones for both myself and to kind of recommend to clients as well. But yes. I love that you also brought up the topic of increasing weight, because I think it can be really easy to get stuck in a routine where you're like, oh, you know, I'm doing this workout, I'm changing up my workouts. But if you're not actually increasing the weights, you're not actually going to increase the strength. So that's something to think about. And that is one of those limitations that working out at home does have, but they actually have those weights. I have no idea what they're called. Maybe you know, Stacey, where it's like one barbell, but it's like a ton of different weights. So you can like choose how much you want on there. Yeah. I'm sure a quick Google search could tell us what the name is, but that's kind of on my list of future home things to get because it is super convenient, because obviously, you know, you're going to want different weights for different exercises and that kind of thing too, but don't be afraid to up your weights. And that is one of the beautiful things about going to a gym. So like this summer when I was in Portland, I did work with a personal trainer a little bit because I did want to actually increase strength and have the opportunity to, you know, lift heavier weights. And I didn't have access to those at home. So that was really cool because, like you said, it was like progressively increasing and we were like keeping track of how much. And then you feel yourself getting stronger, and that in and of itself is super motivating too. So just something to keep in mind as well. And it kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning with that like gained confidence and all these other things about feeling really good in your body. You're probably going to feel more energized. You're probably going to feel more excited to, you know, go do your workout, that kind of thing as well. And one thing I wanted to just mention, just a recommendation I have, I don't know if you've heard of this one, Stacey, but Fitness Blender, have you heard of them?
No, I've not.
Yeah. So it's this couple, I think they're based out of Seattle and I think they've grown their team. So like this was, gosh, I found them maybe 8 years ago. It's been a really long time. But they have a lot of different like search capacities on the website. So you can search based on, you know, time, how intense it is, what part of the body, if you want like weight training or cardio or whatever. So they have a lot of different options on there and they have a lot of free ones, but also some of the only ones that I've seen where people are like going slowly and taking time between reps, which a lot of the YouTubes, it's like we were talking about at the beginning with that like HIIT, that like super cardio oriented weight training, you know, which is fine, but that's not really what we're talking about with the hypertrophy there. So that's one I just wanted to mention as well. Not all of them are like that, but you can definitely find them on there as well.
Yeah. Could you say
fitness? Yeah. Okay. Fitness blender. Like you make a smoothie in a blender.
Got it. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to check that out for sure.
Well, yeah. We covered a lot. Was there anything else that you wanted to add that you feel like would be important?
No, I think that would covered everything. I will just end it with this one thought, which is what I hear all the time is, but I just want to look lean and long. And I don't want to bulk up and all that. And, you know, I mean, we need to change that sort of mindset of like, why do we need to be so skinny? Like, why do we need to be so little? Like, why is that something that has been so ingrained in our brains and it's widespread? I mean, it's all women.
It's, you know? It's the patriarchy.
we need to start thinking more like men in some ways. We need to start thinking like we want to be stronger and bigger in some ways. Yeah. You know, we want to be muscular and be able to maintain this type of health and strength and flexibility and movement and all these things for as long as possible. And the more we focus on this constant like desire to be smaller and skinnier, the riskier it's going to be. We lose our bones. We become sarcopenia, which is the loss of muscle mass, is like the biggest risk for women over men after menopause. Yeah. So like, I just, you know, there is no answer to, okay, let's do it this way so that you look leaner. You know, that's not the answer. Right. The answer is we need to shift that desire and think about what is actually really important for our long-term health, for us to be able to keep, you know, we want to be able to care for our kids or our, you know, partners or whatever. And like, this is the way to do it, you know? So I just wanted to end with that kind of thought.
So good, Stacey. I feel like that was like a mic drop moment. Well, thank you all so much. And I think this was a great topic. And if you guys have any topics that you'd like us to cover, feel free to reach out to us and we'd be happy to do an episode on that. And we will see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening. If you found this episode helpful, we'd love if you left a rating and review and shared it with someone else who would find it helpful. You can find more information about Leah at gracefunctionalnutrition.com and get in touch with her through email at leah@gracefunctionalnutrition.com or on Instagram at gracefunctionalnutrition. To find more information about Stacey, you can find her at healfromfood.com, email her at stacey@healfromfood, or on social media at healfromfood. See you next time.